Welcome to At the Crossroads Church weekly podcast. Our hope is that you will grow in your walk with God and be blessed and encouraged in your daily lives as you listen. You can visit us at our website at atthecrossroads.ca.
Awesome. Well, why don't we stand and pray together as we get into the Word of God? God is so good. Amen. So, Father, we come before you today. We thank you for your Word. We know it has the power to change us, transform us, and bring us closer to you. So, Father, we thank you as we hear it today that we will receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. That's awesome. So today I want to talk to you. The title of my message is Found at His Feet. And it's Found at His Feet and in 2024. And I really believe that this is a season, this year specifically, where there has to be a transition in the way we view the Lord, almost in a sense. We know that God wants to do powerful things. One of the things he wants to do in 2024 is, I believe we're going to see more of a demonstration of his strength, because where darkness abounds, grace abounds more. And I believe that, you know, we look at things happening in the world and the darkness and the issues and the struggles, and yes, they're there. But God wants to move by his power, and he wants to reveal not just his presence in the church, he wants to reveal his glory. And his glory is his tangible presence at such a level. The word glory means the weighty presence of God. And maybe you've never experienced that, where you've been in a meeting or in a time of prayer alone where you almost feel like a weight come on you, and it's a good weight. It's like a heavy blanket of God's love and comfort. And you can walk out of those experiences free, delivered. If you're dealing with condemnation or addiction, whatever, that can be broken, and that happens in the glory of the Lord. And God wants to do that in 2024. And in order to do it, we need to participate with him, to align our way of thinking, because many times what happens is we continue to think the same way we always thought. We fall into ruts. You know, we think a certain way. The other day I was, you know, it was snowing out, and my son Jonah said, can you drive me to work? So I'm driving him to work, of course, and he goes, Dad, what are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you're turning left. You're in the wrong lane. Oh, I'm going to work. He goes, no, you're supposed to take me to work, right? And so I was thinking about all you guys, and Sunday morning, I'm excited to be back. And so I was thinking about the church. So I started to drive towards the church. And that's kind of, you know, whatever you think on, if you think on the Lord and you focus on the Lord, you'll automatically begin to go towards the Lord. Amen. And so this is really a season God wants his church to begin to think about him, to really focus on him, and put him first in your life in 2024, okay? And that's what God is doing. You know, we were in Cuba, and the other thing that happens sometimes is we get distracted. We just, you know, we get popped into these ruts because we're distracted. You know, I was in Cuba, and my room number was zero. It was house number 3, so it was 0322, and then my daughters had room 0325, and then my son 0328. So, okay, that's easy to remember. So I have cards for the rooms. So I'm down at the beach, realize, hey, I forgot my towel or my sun lotion. I couldn't remember what it was, but I went back to the room. And so I go up to the second floor and I'm putting my card in, you know, those little key cards. And it's red. And I'm like, this, you know, I'm getting upset with the door, and I'm knocking on the door, and I'm like, you know, I can't get into the room. So then I go down to my daughter's room, and I'm trying to use the card. And meanwhile, the maid is staring at me, and one of the Cuban workers, and they're standing, and they're like, do you know the family that is in this room? I said, I am the family, and I want to go to the beach. I can't get in my room. And she goes, are you sure it's your room? I said, yes, 03, and there was a 4, 0422. And so I realized, I'm in the wrong building, right? I was so distracted that I went into the wrong building and, you know, couldn't get into a room that wasn't mine. And so sometimes we get distracted, and God really wants us to be a year where we say, okay, we're going to focus, not be distracted, and we're going to focus our thoughts on you. And what I wanted to talk about this morning ties into two women who were found at the feet of Jesus. There's two women found at the feet of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke that I want to talk about this morning. The first one is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And it says, then one of the Pharisees, and I underlined the word Pharisee, there's a reason for that. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, this being Jesus, and Jesus went with the Pharisee, say Pharisee, that's two times. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, okay, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And I love this original translation because a lot of the modern translations, they say, okay, the reader knows it's the Pharisee. So we'll just Pharisee once and then we'll just say his house. But what we see here, we see a little bit into Luke's personality. Dr. Luke is the writer of the book of Luke, and he wants to make it abundantly clear to all of us readers that it wasn't one of the disciples, it was a Pharisee. It wasn't one of us righteous saints, it was a Pharisee. It was a Pharisee's house, the Pharisee invited us, the lady came to the Pharisee. He doesn't mention the Pharisee's name. That's not fair, you see. But see, Luke wanted us to understand this because to the disciples and to the followers of Jesus, the Pharisees were strict. They were religious, self-righteous person. Anyone know anyone like that? Don't lift your hand up. They were by the book. They just, everything was about rules and regulations, okay? And then the other thing I want you to notice is this woman who comes in. She's carrying an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, this thing is worth a year's salary. This is the most expensive thing that she has. This thing has a lot of value to it. Okay? And so, verse 38. I got a fan over here helping me preach. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. She began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the, what's the word? Pharisee, who had been invited, saw him, he spoke to himself. So in his own thoughts, he said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Now, it's important to understand that the Pharisee began to doubt Jesus because Jesus' actions contradicted the Pharisee's belief system. He had a box in which he saw God. And to the Pharisee, to be religious or to have faith, you had to have the ability to discern character in other people and then separate yourself from them if they were unclean. That's how the Pharisees operate. If they're not following the laws of Moses perfectly, you have to cut them off and they're separate from us. That was the mindset of what it was to be spiritual to a Pharisee. But to Jesus, his mission was to cleanse the unclean. He was there to cleanse the leper, to heal the sick, to cleanse people of sin. And what's really amazing to me when I read this story, because you can go and read the story in Mark, you can read it in Matthew, and if you read it in John, you'll get the name of the woman who did it. I'll leave that as homework. You read it in the book of John. But you see, in the other two books, he's called Simon the leper. He's Simon the leper. And here's a little bit of information that's important. Jesus healed Simon of leprosy because, and I know that because to be a leper, you had to be in a leper colony outside of the, you could not serve people, you couldn't invite them to your home. None of that could happen. So Simon must have been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had received a touch from the Lord. He had received something from God. But still, what happened, and this is what happens if you have a religious mindset. He said, this man, how can he be a prophet? Well, maybe because he healed you. I don't know anyone else who can heal leprosy. It's incurable. But no, because it contradicted his mindset or his belief system, he couldn't receive it. And we see that in Christianity today. I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen people who have come in who have had addictions and were delivered from addictions where 6 months down the road, well, I don't agree with that scripture in the Bible, or I don't like, that just doesn't fit my, float my boat, so I'm out of here. And they leave the faith, or they move into a place of just being a spectator because Jesus doesn't fit in their box. And I believe that this, in 2024, we don't want to be like the Pharisee. Nobody would say amen to that. Jesus cleansed him of leprosy. And so Jesus, and this is beautiful, I want you to see this. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. You see, it's so funny because Luke identifies Simon as the Pharisee. Wants to make sure we know he's a religious dude. But Jesus called him by name. And it doesn't matter, you know, how people address you or how you address yourself, who you've been, what you've done. Oh, I'm no good for nothing. God couldn't love me. I've done too much. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm a marriage breaker. I'm a this, I'm a that. Jesus doesn't come and say, identify you. He comes and calls you by name because he knows who you are. He puts his finger right down. And Luke learns this because if we read on the passage, Luke no longer calls him the Pharisee. Luke is like, Simon. He had a check in his own heart. And so Jesus said, I have something to say to you, Simon. And he said, teacher, say it. So Jesus is about to tell a story, verse 41. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owned 500 denarii. And the other owed 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love the more? So Simon answered and said, see, Luke is calling him Simon now. Like that, I suppose the one in whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightfully judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And here's the thing, that was customary to the Jews. When a guest came over, you washed their feet, you anointed their head, you washed their face, and you gave them a kiss on the cheek as a greeting, like the French, mwah, mwah, right? That was customary, and he didn't offer it to the Lord, but she did. And his hospitality, which is minimal, is held up before him in contrast to the woman's lavish devotion to the Lord. And Simon was just there to sniff things out. He was there to be a spectator. She was there to participate in worship. And in 2024, I really feel God is calling us as a people, and not in a condemning way, but just saying, hey, listen, I don't want you to be like Simon, spectating, seeing if I line up with your beliefs. I want you to come and worship. I want you to give. And see, she came and took what was most valuable to her, and she laid it at the Lord's feet, poured it over his head, poured it on his feet, and said, you're worth more. And that's what God is saying. Give him everything in 2024. The love that she displayed is really the fruit of a repentant heart. And so what did he say to her in the next verse? He said, your sins are what? Forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so here's the thing. The word saved, you see that word, I underlined it, is the word sozo. That word sozo, salvation, actually means to save, to heal, to persevere, to keep safe. to bring deliverance, to deliver from danger of destruction. It's not just you get a ticket to heaven. It's that Jesus came to give an abundant life. See, Simon was healed physically, but his religious doctrine kept him from receiving Zoe life, new life. He couldn't receive new life because of a mindset that was not willing to conform to the Word of God. But this woman who came and just poured herself out and worshiped, she received life. She received deliverance in Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. One was observing, one was engaging. Say, one was observing, one was engaging. So which one do you want to be? Engaging. Amen. So let's look at the second woman in the book of Luke here. We see in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And this is Mary and Martha. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went out that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Say, heard his word. This is the key. She was sitting because she wanted to hear his word. She wanted to be a disciple. She wanted to be taught by the Lord. Okay? But Martha was distracted with much serving. She was distracted. Remember I talked about being distracted, going to the wrong house, the wrong apartment? We can be distracted by many things that are going wrong or going on in the world, going on in our own worlds. And we get distracted. In fact, we can get distracted serving God. We can be out winning, you know, sharing our faith. We can be feeding people. We can be visiting, you know, doing all this stuff and be distracted and not sit at the Lord's feet. How many know that's possible? It has to be balanced, right? And so she approached him, okay? Martha did, approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Can you tell her to help me, please? And look what the Lord says. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You are worried and troubled. Worry and troubled, that's fear. She wasn't in faith, she was in fear. She was concerned, okay? She was concerned with maybe being a proper hostess. What are people going to think? Mary was concerned about being a student. Jesus does not negate hospitality. However, he's concerned with Martha because she's worried and troubled about many things. Fear causes us to underestimate the one thing that is needed, hearing the words of Jesus. And if we're not, we can be busy serving and still deal with the fear of lack, fear for tomorrow, fear of rejection, fear of not being in control, fear of messing up your own life, and fear, right? We don't want to be in fear. But look what Mary did. We'll read it here in the next verse here. But one thing, this is what Jesus says to Martha, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What Martha needed was to sit at the feet of Jesus to learn from him. And I really believe 2024 is going to be a real season of worship and just really sacrifice and worship. And that's why once a month, we're going to do a Sunday night deeper night where we can come and just worship at the Lord's feet and just put aside agenda and just worship and have prophetic words and just really tap into God and have just an encounter with the Lord like the first Mary. But here also, we're going to focus on having some deeper teaching, some teaching so people can just come. Sunday morning, obviously, is evangelistic. We're bringing people in. We're going to have other meetings where we're going to go a little deeper and do some teaching on the prophetic and the gifts of the Spirit and all these things because we want to sit at the feet of Jesus and we want to be learned from him. And then out of that, we'll serve. Out of that, we'll do things for God. See, tradition and religious systems do not release divine power. How many want divine power in your life? Religious systems do not release divine power. And if you get away from being passionate with the Lord, what happens is you move into religious tradition. That's how churches always start in power, but then they become, instead of being an organism that grows, a living organism, becomes an organization. And God intended his church to be a living organism that grows, and it's organic. And if we're not careful, it becomes an organization. And we don't want that. We want to be a living, growing church. Personally, I'm not interested in retaining the customs and traditions of past generations. I appreciate it. I go to some churches and they have, you know, the bells and smells and costumes and all that. And it's all good. Like, I have nothing. If you like it, that's fine. To me, what's precious to me is the message, not the method. I want to make sure that our next generation can hear the message of truth that Jesus brought to the world, not the traditions of man. Amen? And whether you're a traditional Christian, maybe you're visiting, you're a traditional Christian, or you're not a traditional Christian, you still need divine power in your life. There's a Greek Orthodox priest, and he's got his cross, and he wears his black thing, and he's got a big beard. Maybe some of you have seen him online. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost and on fire. So you can have your traditions and still be on fire, but the reality is you have to sit at the feet of Jesus. Either way. Both of these women had passion, and we need passion in our lives. Passion is a positive, intense feeling that you experience for something profoundly meaningful for you as an individual. Okay? Passion is something that is core to the person's identity. When you're passionate about something or someone, you can't separate your pursuit from who you are. It is core to who you are as a being. Christians who are not passionate need to be at the feet of Jesus. And I have lost passion in my life at different points of my Christian journey. How many would be honest enough to say that? And the only thing that changes that is time with our Savior. Nothing else will do. And so 2024 will be a time and a season where we will continue to serve because Jesus asks us to be servants, but in the proper measure, because first and foremost, we want to receive from him. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Do we identify with Christ? Are we passionate about his word? And here is the good news. Here's the good news. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 and 3, and then I'm going to close. Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." So he has given each and every one of us everything that we need pertaining to our life and to living godly. When you got born again, and especially if you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've been given everything that you need. The only thing we need is we need the correct knowledge of him. We need to let him teach us. We need to be students of Jesus. And when we have our teaching right, divine power begins to flow in our lives. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to do a worship song in just a moment here. 2024 will be, I believe, a season of God's power and glory. But what we need to do is we need to be like those two women, right? We need to worship, say worship. Worship. And we need to learn at his feet. And that'll bring the glory. That'll bring the change that God wants to bring in our lives. And so we're going to do a song about, it's a new worship song. And it's, what's the name of the song? See You Right. See You Right. And it's about the woman with the alabaster oil. And we're going to sing about it. So Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you that we're your children and we're excited. And it's so easy for us to be more like Simon and step back and just spectate and watch. But you want us to be like Mary, to come at your feet and worship. Help us to be that people. Let's pray together. Just if you agree with this message, I just want you to pray out with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to be like this woman. I want to pour myself out at your feet. I want to sit and be taught by you. I want to give you everything that's valuable to me because you're the most valuable. In Jesus' name, amen.
you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our message. If you are in the Quinte West area, we would love to have you visit us on Sunday morning at 24 Dundas Street West, Trenton, Ontario. Check out our service times on our website at thecrossroads.ca.